Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere.
Hello. Podcast audience. It is that hour of power that we so patiently wait for every week. Tonight, Sunday night, we have the messenger, Ron Dyer, always ready to deliver a profound word that teaches us that we are who we are already striving to be. Tonight's podcast, we're going to talk about what do we know about the Bible. And when we start off with saying, what do we know about the Bible, there's a lot of avenues that we're going to take you down. But without being disrespectful, just really, really emphasizing a very different perspective, I want to start off by saying the Bible is a book of stories that will comfort you. But oh, ye, my brother and my sister, let us shake off that coat that tells us we need the Bible to be closer to God. Let's shake off that coat that tells us that the Bible is the inestimable gift from God to man. Let's shake that off, folks, and let's get ready. As I introduce to some and present to others, let's get ready for a different version of what you've always believed. And I want to tell you, most of it, it ain't real. But before I go any deeper in that, again, I want to introduce to some and present to others none other than Messenger Ron Dyer.
Amen, amen. Bless you, my brother. And those words that you said were very profound that we start this podcast off with regards to our faith and belief in the book that we call the Bible. One of the things, well, before I go any further, let me just say welcome to, I believe that's Sister Sunshine.
Yes, it is I, Brother Manchester. Yes, it
bless
is
you,
I.
Bless you, my sister. And we have Nurse Carmen.
Yes. We
got Nurse Carmen, so we've got the crew. I just want us to think about the Bible, per se, and its origin and how we come to take it as God's word. What we have to understand, the Bible was written 300 years. Let me say that again. 300 years after the death of Christ. I have to say it one more time. 300 years after the death of Christ. Now, there were many people that follow Christ and got a word from him, And so religion was, well, Christianity per se wasn't organized. We had, just like we have today, different sets that believe different types of things. And so they take a little bit out and put whatever they want. But there was an emperor by the name of Constantine. He was a Roman emperor. And one day he went to battle. And when he went to battle, before he went to battle, he had a vision and he seen a cross. And ever since he seen that cross, then he became a devoted Christian. And his goal was to make Christianity kind of like the state religion. And as I said, there was no Bible or anything. Now, remember, he was a pagan. He just saw that vision of the cross. And so he decided, hey, let me get this religion thing going. So what he did was he got, it was called the Council of Nicaea, I believe it was. There's the Council of Nicaea, and that's like 12, we'd say, in today's term, it would be like the 12 preachers of the top 12 mega churches. They got together, and what they did was just writings that they had that people, different sets of the religion and stuff were using. They got together and decided what they would put in the Bible. Now, these priests or whatever you want to call them, they did their thing and decided this goes in and that goes in or this doesn't go in. And this is how the Bible came to be. But the emperor had final say. And because he was trying to organize the people, and not for a religious purpose, but for a political purpose, to keep people in order. And they didn't have any order. So religion was used to help keep the people in order. One of the things we've got to understand is in the Bible, it talks about his disciples. But so why would it be only four of them sayings were put into this book? The other didn't have any, they never put anything in paper. They never had any sayings. There is a reason that they only had those four. And if you look at those four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all kind of like say the same thing. But he had Thomas. Thomas was a disciple. He had Peter. Peter was a disciple. And one of the people that they don't want to give credit to, but she was more, I won't say more important, but she was closer to Jesus than any of the men disciples that he had. And if we stop and think about it, wouldn't that make sense?
Now, when you say closer to Jesus, I mean, were we kind of saying, kind of not saying and not being funny that maybe that was Jesus' girlfriend?
Well, I don't want to put anything out there, but I would think if you spend a lot of quality time with a certain person of the opposite sex, you would, I don't want to say yay or nay on that, but there is that possibility. I can't confirm that, but even if it was
so funny that you notice even though we understand Jesus to be a prophet and not an immaculate concepted being, even when we speak about the possibility of maybe Mary was his girlfriend or maybe he had a girlfriend, notice how lightly we walk when we do that again. So, and I only bring that up to show training, products of your environment. We can't even sit here and say that, yeah, maybe Jesus had a girlfriend because we feel it would be blasphemous to others, to some, and disrespectful to others. But we also say, love is one of the greatest feelings in the world. on no matter what language you speak or no matter what continent you're on. At least that's my belief. So if we believe that, why do we have to kind of walk skittish to say that maybe Jesus had a lover?
Well, and I won't deny that. I won't deny that it could be. I'm just saying I don't know. But if it was me, I'm just saying, you know, if it was me. So if I place, you know, if I place him in my shoes, I would think so. And I would think also that she was closer to him. Because if you look at the little sayings and stuff that it says in the Bible, they were very close. They were very close. When everybody else left him, when he died, who stayed at the tomb? Who was the first one there the next morning? Sound like a girlfriend to me. You know, sound like somebody really close to me.
Right.
Everybody else ready to move on.
Yeah, and again, and when I say that, again, I don't say that with any disrespect. I just say that that's probably a fact. And if we're going to start with the Bible, then if we're going to leave out, the writings write about how the two of them stayed, you know, she stayed there, she tarried with him. They, you know what I'm saying? The writers write about it. But being that close to Jesus, there's no book for her.
Well, see, that's just it. There is a book for her. They just didn't put it in there. But they didn't put it in there because technically she was next in line. And she was next in line because she was the one that was more by his side than the rest of them. But back in that day, men wasn't trying to hear women with any kind of authority. And that's one of the things that's really mind-boggling to me also. If you notice the church is filled with nothing but women. You might catch two or three men here or there, but the majority of them are women. And they sit there and they believe this male stereotype of how things was then, and they accept it. Now, Jesus is supposed to be different than all of them, but they still go along with this male dominant, this, they even put that on God, that God had it where men were still in control. Even though God has no respected person, they still have it where God made the man head. And you can't have two heads. If God is head, how can you have another head? So these are little things that are in there that we've kind of just brushed to the side because we've been taught so much that this is the word from God, that this is gospel. But this was just man picking out writings. And these writings came 40 to 50 years after Jesus. And if you know the story about Jesus, Jesus hung out with the poor. And most of the poor, they were poor because they didn't have any education. So if they didn't have any education, how can they write these scriptures?
Mm.
And the way it was actually put in, on paper was these stories was passed down from generations to generations. And then what happened was eventually someone began to put it on paper, but they put it on paper 60 years after it actually happened. So they're putting it on paper from what they've heard.
Right.
So, you know, so the book of Mark wasn't actually written by Mark. The book of Mark was written 60 years later. But it's just Mark's sayings from the stories that were passed down. And we've locked onto this hook, line, and sinker that Mark wrote this down, and he didn't. It's just the stories that were told.
So when we say the God, and that's why if you notice, some Bibles will have the Gospel of John or the Gospel according to John.
But, right.
You know, so again, that's just a book. In fact, it's one of the best, I'm pretty sure it's an all-time best-selling book in the world. And what could be further from the truth? But just think of how many people have been indoctrinated into that book. You know, we look at, like, for example, when we talk about the books in the Bible, the book of Psalms, for most of my adult life, I thought David wrote that. Well, he wrote a part of it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because I always thought that it was called the Psalms of David. Mm-hmm. But David wrote some. They say Brother Saul wrote some, because Brother Asaph wrote some. The Levitical priest wrote some. All that's in one book. And let me tell you, that's why when you read the Psalms, it's melodic and it's got melody to it. But if you read that and study it as a book instead of a Bible, you'll see that it goes in a few different directions.
Well, yes, it goes in a few different directions, because technically those was just David singing where he done messed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And that's
this was David asking for forgiveness. I'm sorry, bro.
Yes.
What did you say?
No, you're right. I'm saying it. And that's one part of it. And then when you get around the 93rd, and like I say to folks, when we first started our Messenger podcast, the Messenger and myself were raised Primitive Baptist. And just in case anybody forgot some of our opening podcasts, with a father being a preacher and a mother being a first lady of the church, that's pretty much what we did. So what I know I'm saying that because I'm not trying to impress anybody that I remember scriptures from the Bible, but when you do that for 40 or better years, it's kind of hard not to. So getting back to what I was saying, when you get to the 93rd Psalm, that's the Psalm Asaph telling about how he wanted to give up. You know, he's seen all the unrighteous folks just getting mad bank. They party and they having a good life. And he told God, I almost gave up. But I guess he should have said, I should have just gave up, went on over here and enjoyed my life like you intended me to do. It's what Asaph should have said.
And believe it or not, that is, there are things in there that if we pay closer attention to, there are things in there that will help us. But we can't take those writings literally as the gospel of God, because they're not. They're just stories that were passed down regarding people's experiences with their understanding of God. Yesterday I spoke about a group called the Gnostics. Now, they had a different outlook. Their outlook was that they can go straight to God. But that couldn't go well in those days because, as I said, he was trying to organize. And if you didn't need me, if you didn't have to come to me and you go straight to God, I can't keep you in check.
There's that word, organize. I'm sorry, brother, but I had to get that in there. There's that word, organize.
And that's where we act like we haven't been given the ability to think, to do, to hear. We think we've got to be told by someone else. And it's really funny because if you really check into the background of the majority of the so-called preachers, priests, and all of this stuff, it's nothing so great that separates them from you. It's just that title that we've given them. And we've allowed ourselves to think that they're more connected to God than we are. and it's just a fallacy. We are all one. We are all part of the body. Now, people can say it's blasphemy, and they can say it's crazy talk, but it is what it is. And it, anybody, if you ask them, if God withdrew his breath from you, his breath of life, your soul from you, what happens to you? They'll tell you, you die. And if he blows it back into you, you live again. So ask yourself, who are you? Without him, you die. With him, you live. Who are you?
I am a part of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. But people so set in their ways to believe stories that have been passed down forever and a day that they're now afraid to go any other direction because they feel that they're going to go to this place that was created. Hell is a state of mind. It is not a place. And heaven is a state of mind as well. Jesus even said, heaven and hell is right here on earth. It's how we choose to deal with and live each day that determines our hell or our heaven. And since we have free will, we can choose heaven every day. But we get into this religion and we lose our minds. We lose our ability to get in contact with who we really are. And I've got to tell you, until we truly search within so that we can hear a word from God within us, we'll always be lost. And they'll always hear this message and think I'm crazy.
Well, see, that's part of the message, again, because after years of, well, centuries of having people believe that you can't get there from here, so to speak, you can't get there without a priest, a pope. If you know, you can't get to him directly, and if you believe that, then what it does, it always make you interdependent on somebody else for whatever it is that you already have. You know what I'm saying? So if I can shed the light from you and make you think that you don't have the power, you don't have the glory, you don't have the magnificence that the Creator put in you, but if you want it, I can show you how to get it. So here, you come over here and be a part of this ministry, this whatever, be a part of something. And when I say that, I mean being a part of it, so that you can get glory, and that glory being from God. So, you know, if you understood, you already have glory. If you understood, you already have the power to heal the sick, if that's what need be done. You just have to believe it. And when I say believe it, you just can't, like, I don't know if people can just say, hey, I believe it, and make that work. I mean, you have to believe it till you convince the God in you that you believe it. And then these miracles that we speak of or that we like to talk about on Sunday mornings, we can talk about those same miracles, but every Sunday it'll be a new miracle. The miracles will go, hey, last week this is what happened. This morning this is what happened. I no longer have to tell you stories that were passed down thousands of years ago.
That's correct. You can't constantly say that God is not dead. He's alive, but then base it on something that happened 3,000 years ago. If he's alive, he need to start talking. If we want to hear from God, we got to go to a book that was written 3,000 years ago. If he's alive. And they claim it every day. My God is not dead. My God is alive. But let me go to the scripture. If he's alive, why is he not talking to you? And the answer to that is he is. We're just not listening because we rather go back to the book. And everybody knows when you read a book, everything in that book ain't true. Even when you do a documentary on somebody, there's some little lies in there to kind of make that person a little bit better or a little bit worse than what they are or were. But we believe this Bible to be the word of God when it's Paul's word. It's Mark's word. Well, no, it ain't even their words, truth be told. It's the stories of their word. And if we just be real about it, each and every one of us that's on this podcast tonight, go out tomorrow and talk about the podcast today, ain't going to get it right. We're going to get the gist of it, but we're not going to get it right. And if we can't get it right tomorrow, how can we expect them to get it right 40 years later, 3,000 years
later? Yeah. I remember.
Yeah, that is true. That's so true. Yeah.
Makes I remember sense. In school, we used to do a little role play or experiment, for lack of a better word, where they said about 30 people in the class.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
The teacher would whisper something in the ear, and you had to just pass that exact. We made it like one sentence, because I remember it had to be simple, so it couldn't get convoluted.
And by the time that story got back up to the front, now we're talking in the span of about 5 minutes.
You're right.
Yeah. Now, let me give you 300 years. What's the thing we got? We got a little bit. We might not even have the correct names.
Right.
We got a little bit of something that we put together. So, you know, and again, I just want people to understand that although we tell, I try to tell you, or the podcast try to tell you that that Bible is a good guide, man, but please stop thinking that you have to read that Bible and understand that Bible and regurgitate that Bible in order to impress the Creator. I'm here to tell you, it is my sincere belief that that's just some hogwash. Yeah, that's just not how it is. Now, again, it is a good, I mean, I've read it so many times. It's a good book. It's a comforting book. But you have to understand, reading that book might be just a little more than reading, some of the prophets' books.
We say it's comforting, but read some of those things that they say in there and tell me, do you really think it's comforting? There's some stuff in there about if your child is disobedient, you are supposed to take them to the outskirts of town and stone them to death. Thus saith the Lord.
being a parent, I mean, I can understand that a little bit.
Oh, Lord.
My kids know I love them more than I love myself. That was a little jokey joke.
Right, now because truth be told, now, we did some stuff that we might not even be here today if there was to follow behind that. You know what I mean? So, but these are things, if you look at some of the stuff, and all the stuff in there is where the woman has to be a subservient of the man. And we're all the same. There is no big eyes and little using God. We are all part of the body. But if you look at religion, there's a separation. Yeah.
Hey, but we got into 1 minute left here, and we're going to get ready to sign off for this evening. But I just want to give a quick recap, and then I'm going to turn the microphone back over to the messenger. Hey, listen, we talked about the Bible. We talked about, come on, folks, let's wake up a little bit to the fact of stop doing blind reading. And again, bring yourself to the read, you know, and at some point you're going to realize that maybe – not saying it's not, and again, it's not a bad thing for you to wake up and say, the Bible, that's not the inestimable gift from God, but it's a good book, it's a comforting book. That's not a bad thing. So you don't have to shun it, but just put it in a different perspective. God has given us everything that we need. to create a great life for him. And the basic element or the nucleus is his spirit. Hey, Brother Messenger, go ahead and bring us on.
Well, once again, I thank you for that recap, and I thank each and every one. So tune in. We'll be back again on Thursday, and we'll dive deeper into this. And I'd like for, if you get a chance, to just look up some of the different disciples that he had and see some of their readings and see how it differs from the ones that they've chosen for you to believe. And remember, even with their writings, these are just stories that were passed down, but you'll be able to see a difference in it. So keep your minds, your hearts open, and stay in tune with who you are. And those that don't know who they are, all you have to do is just search within yourself, and it'll come out. And you'll see great things. I love you all, and I look forward to talking and listening again on Thursday. Go with God. You ain't got no choice.
Amen.
I like that ending.
You want
Oh, hi, Sister Celebration.
Yeah.
Hi, buddy.
You ain't gangster on the Brother Messenger. You know, he said, I'm going to bless your heart. No, you ain't got no choice.
That was gangster.
Hey, that was a gangster too.
And what's it? Whatever you are, he is. Or whatever he
Amen.
Is, you are.
Yeah, you are.
All right. Hey, listen.
All
great
right.
show.
Good night,
awesome.
Everyone. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Bye bye.